and that is Entrust Your Days and Burdens. And here we go on Law and Gospel on this Rumination Tuesday, July the 24th in the year of our Lord, 2018. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and with me is Pastor Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Tom. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. And yourself?
Beautiful day today. Boy, for the summer, you know, for this time of summer, it's a beautiful day.
Not that much snow.
No. Thank goodness.
No.
we'd really be worried if we did.
Yeah, if we had snow, maybe. End of the world.
We'd have to look at this hymn again.
Yes. Entrust Your Days and Burdens is it a Martin Luther hymn?
No. Paul Gerhardt.
Yes.
Pretty close.
Yes. Well, he was one of the great Reformation. Originally had 12 stanzas, and it first appeared in 1653.
It's, 12 stanzas?
Yes.
Must have been a distribution hymn in a huge church.
Well, we had 15 stanzas in one we did recently.
Oh, man.
And
hey, if it's a great hymn, fine. But you know, I always hate to cut off a hymn. I hate to leave out verses.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, frankly, when I look at a hymn that's 10 or 12 verses, I say, well, I'm not going to pick that because it's got too many verses.
Oh.
Because I hate to drop verses.
Yes. Well.
What do you think?
I don't drop them. You put them in the communion area.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm at a congregation where they normally sing three, but if I do 15 verse one, they only sing two.
I mean, you could just see the eyes roll back in the head when they say, you know, 12 verse, oh.
Yeah. Well, for those of us who like singing Christian hymns, our eyes never roll back. But for those who don't like it, you know.
Well, you know, there's this problem, too. You know, like a distribution hymn. Have you ever noticed that, you know, people get back to the pew, and can they tell what verse is being sung at that time, so they can jump right in?
Yes. They have to be listening to the words.
Yes.
But if you have a congregation that doesn't sing very loud, boy, you're wondering, well, let's see, are they on verse 9 or 14 or whatever, this kind of thing. This has been called the most comforting of all hymns that have resounded and written by Paul Gerhardt. Sweeter to many souls than honey and the honeycomb. But there's something about this hymn that I don't know if you've noticed. How many times is Jesus mentioned?
Let's see. Well, he's mentioned every time it talks about God, your Savior. Second verse, right there. My eyes fell on the, rely on God, your Savior. And it says, make his work your foundation. Well, that's obviously Jesus Christ is our foundation.
Well, you're making a point that if you read it closely, you can find Jesus. But believe it or not, Gerhardt wrote 133 hymns. And 58 of them make no mention of Christ specifically.
The name Jesus.
And that's one of them right here.
Is that right?
In fact, this happened occasionally during the time. Other hymns are, what God ordains is always good, or all depends on our possessing. These are other hymns.
Oh, I love that hymn.
I know. Never mention Jesus specifically.
Yeah.
However, you made the point that's absolutely correct. You can't read it without thinking of Jesus.
We're sure.
Yeah, because who else is our Savior, etc. So, without further ado, read the first stanza, please.
Entrust your days and burdens to God's most loving hand. He cares for you while ruling the sky, the sea, the land. For he who guides the tempests along their thunderous ways will find for you a pathway and guide you all your days.
Any idea why they have chosen that for this Sunday? Do you remember the readings?
Well, you know, I took yesterday off, so I haven't looked at the readings yet.
Yeah, okay, the first one is Noah.
Oh, well.
And look at that. He cares for you while ruling the sky, the sea, the land.
Well, he sure did care for Noah and his family.
That's right.
That's for sure.
And guides the tempests along their thunderous ways. And we'll find for you a pathway and guide you all your days. That's exactly what the ark.
Right.
What happened in the ark? What's our ark?
the church.
Yes, excellent.
Brought into by water, yep. by baptism.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. In fact, if you look at our church, people say, you know, you look at the arched ceilings yeah. of our church, and it looks like the ribs of a boat, you know. And I said, yeah, that's right. That's why it's called a nave.
Yes.
You know, the nave of the church, the sanctuary, main part of the sanctuary is the nave.
From naval?
No, from, well, navy, nautical, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So what is a nave on a boat? The bottom part?
That I
well,
can't
you're the one
you.
Who said it was.
Well, all I'm saying is, you know, our church was built at a time.
Yes.
You know, those that architecture of the '60s kind of it resembled kind of a boat.
Exactly.
You know, it just did. And in fact, you'll find some churches. I think there's a church in University City that has a boat in it. A lot of the old Scandinavian.
Well, I was in University City.
Would have a not. I didn't. I
St. James
misspoke. Not University City. What was I thinking?
I don't know because I can't read your mind.
Oh, somewhere locally here. I guess I was thinking
Overland,
Webster Groves. I think there's a church in Webster Groves has a boat in it.
That's interesting.
A lot of churches did that. Scandinavian churches.
And that also, what's reminding us of Noah in light of the form of the baptismal. Font.
How many? Eight sides.
That's right.
Eight people were saved in the ark.
Yes.
Yes. I always bemoan the fact our font has only six sides.
Oh.
But I say, you know, traditionally fonts have eight sides.
Yeah. Well, I just did a baptism last week and the font was round.
It was round.
The whole world. So it all, really.
Eternity of our.
Yeah, now you had children.
Yes, absolutely.
And if they ever got to become anxious or they were worried or this, you know, they had real cares, would you not go to them because you want to give them your favor? Help them out?
Yes.
All right, read stanza 2.
I know. Stanza 2 is interesting, isn't it?
That's
it really
I
is
just
interesting.
Did what I
let,
did.
Let me read. Rely on God your Savior and find your life secure. Make his work your foundation that your work may endure. No anxious thought. Here we go. No anxious thought, no worry, no self-tormenting care can win your Father's favor. His heart is moved by prayer. In other words, you don't please God by, you know, by fretting, by being anxious. You know, that doesn't win God over. It's going to him in prayer. I mean, he still loves you, of course, but it's not God pleasing to be fretful all the time.
Yeah, I think that's what you have to say here. Mm-hmm. It's the word favor that bugged me the first time I read it. Can win your Father's favor. Well, if favor is grace, when you're in those problems where you're worried or have self-tormenting care, then God's grace can come to you. I think what he meant here, which would be true, all those things can win your Father's attention,
mm-hmm.
but not necessarily, as you said, that he's pleased with self-tormenting care.
Yeah, well, worry.
Notice the word self there.
You know, is worry a sin or not?
Okay, every time.
I say it is.
And I say it isn't.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's.
No, let me explain.
Oh, okay, great one. You explain.
Every time
so
you
all
say.
Of us, so all of us little people can understand, please open our minds.
All right. I'll do that for you. Anytime I hear the question, is that a sin? I immediately think, did Jesus ever experience or do it? So when you ask the question, is worry a sin? Did Jesus ever worry?
I'll bet he didn't.
Oh, I know he did. My God, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily imply worry. He knew all the while what was happening. He knew everything that was happening.
No, I wouldn't agree with that at all. He did not have omniscience.
Oh, well, I wouldn't say that. You don't think he was omniscient?
No.
Oh, absolutely he was.
He says,
he's God. Jesus knows everything, even as he hung on the cross.
I remember someone telling me that the state of humiliation wasn't that Jesus lost his ability, but he did not make use of it.
That's right. That's
well,
right.
Therefore, he did not know everything.
He still had it. He just didn't always make use of it.
But he
that's the distinction you got to make.
Make use of it,
you still have it.
It doesn't matter. If you don't make use of it.
No, you're wrong, O great one.
No. He did not know when the last day was. That was ignorance.
Okay. There's a good point. There's a good point. That's his state of humiliation.
Thank you, O great one, for leading me.
but that doesn't say anything about worry.
Oh, I'm sure Jesus wasn't.
You don't think worry's a sin?
No. I think.
I would say this. I think it's a most understandable sin. I think.
It depends how you define the word worry.
Okay.
If, for instance, let's say you're driving down the highway and suddenly you see a car had jumped the other side and it headed right towards you the wrong way, wouldn't you be worried? Oh, you're not going
to
be worried?
I wouldn't have time to be worried. I'd be reacting.
And that's through worry. You're going to look at your wife and say, hey, don't be worried about it. You know, even if we get hit, we'll be in heaven. No, worry is a common thing that isn't necessarily
a
sin.
Sure. I think that's a good debate. I think it's a good debate. I've heard people say that it is a sin.
Well, that may
But
be.
I understand. I will say this. Worry is a very understandable sin. I mean, that's part of our human nature. And
no, I'm not going to tell people they have to repent of their being worried about, for example, they have a child and they're concerned they've left the church.
Sure.
Now they're worried whether
sure.
they're going to go to heaven or not.
Uh-huh.
That's not a sin.
Mm-hmm.
I guess
it's like you say, it's how you define worry.
Thank you, great one. Okay.
Well, you're doing it in a very broad, in a very narrow sense.
I'm doing it in a way in which, is drinking a sin?
No.
Oh,
drinking
really?
Drinking to drunkenness is a sin. Drinking too much, to excessive drinking is
and
a
therefore,
sin.
I would say worry is not a sin, but worry when you don't trust God is a sin.
Okay, I agree there. Yes.
Oh, great
finally,
one. Thank you,
you
finally.
You finally hit on it. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Finally.
Stanza three.
Take heart, have hope, my spirit, and do not be dismayed. God helps in every trial and makes you unafraid. Await his time with patience through darkest hours of night until the sun you hoped for delights your eager sight.
I'll give you an example of that. 2 weeks ago, I just returned from a 300-mile round trip, and my back tire went flat. And we took it in, and I take it to Dobbs because that's where you get the tires, and they'll fix it for nothing. But they couldn't because it was a side thing, so
yeah.
I had to buy a new tire.
I've heard that a lot lately.
So then on Saturday, Louise went out to pick up the paper, and she came back in, and another tire was flat.
Oh.
Okay, and she had to leave in about 2 hours going babysitting. My car was blocking her. So what did I do? I immediately went back to bed and slept another half hour because I wasn't worried. Uh-huh. I just kind of figured out that there would be a way to do it, to get it there. And so when we went out there, there was no air pressure. But uh-huh. I have an air pressure thing, and we got it up to about 10, 15 pounds.
Enough here to get to Dobbs again.
Exactly. And so we were able to drive it in there. This time it was a nail,
uh-huh.
and it was free.
Uh-huh.
So that was good.
Hmm.
The next day, we were driving the truck, and it stalled on her while she was driving. We couldn't get it started. And it was a block and a half from Dobbs. Boy, I didn't want
to... You got Louise out to push, is that it?
I did. And you know why? I was right by a tattoo shop. And and I
and
knew
all these tattoo guys came out and helped Louise.
No.
They wouldn't have helped you.
Well, no. They came out to help push.
Oh, huh.
And I switched with Louise so she could, you know, follow me in the van.
Uh-huh.
They pushed me onto the street, and one guy really did well with the steering because the motor wouldn't start.
Yeah, right.
And it was downhill from there to Dom's.
Oh, boy.
And I got far enough, so I got up into their driveway just a little bit, went into Dobbs, and they pushed it in.
Well,
so,
I bet the people at Dobbs, they see you coming, don't they?
Oh, no. It's about $4,000 a month I pay them, I think. It's just ridiculous. You know? So we're going to find out. But isn't that it? I wasn't concerned at all. I did try to get Louise to push it, but she couldn't. So I said, okay, I'll push it. And I couldn't either. But then these guys came out of the tattoo shop and saw her trying to push, and it was really good. So, yeah, this is what you don't really have to worry. And, of course, that's a pretty easy thing not to worry about, you know. But sometimes it's worse. Stanza 4.
Leave all to his direction. His wisdom rules for you in ways to rouse your wonder at all his love can do. Soon he, his promise keeping, with wonder-working powers, will banish from your spirit what gave you troubled hours. This is a good hymn for people that worry.
Well, they said it was one of the best for comfort.
Yeah.
That he ever wrote.
Uh-huh.
And trust your days and burdens. We were talking about people who attempt to do suicide. In fact, coming here, the news was just making known that a 13-year-old had emailed somebody that she was thinking of suicide, and they still can't find her.
Oh, boy.
Yep. She left the home, so we're hoping that...
Poor thing. I hope they find her.
Soon. Yeah, exactly. Because at that age, they are unaware of life, that things do change. How many times have you had a person say, I don't think I'm going to get through tomorrow? And yet they do.
Yeah.
And they're sitting in church and this kind of thing. But this is that your troubled heart, I mean, when you think about how many things you were troubled over the years, and now they're gone. Another set of troubles.
In fact, people talk about how bad procrastination is. I've found I'm a bad procrastinator, but I found? I found that sometimes when you procrastinate, these things work out. God's help. Have you ever realized that?
No.
I don't think you should do that. I don't think you should depend upon that. But, you know, you don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. But I have found that sometimes, when you procrastinate, these problems just work out.
You don't have to do it. I'll read.
Terrible advice for people.
Stanza 5. O blessed heir of heaven, you'll hear the song resound of endless jubilation when you with life are crowned. In your right hand, your maker will place the victor's palm, and you will thank him gladly with heaven's joyful song. Now, you can give examples of that where you're just... explain this line. When you with life are crowned.
Yeah, when you are... Well... Be thou faithful unto death, and you will receive the crown of life.
Yes.
And it says, in your right hand, your maker will place the victor's palm. Well, that's a picture of heaven, you know, palm branches, victory.
Yeah, that's
triumph,
right.
Triumph over
Revelation
death.
Revelation has them holding palm branches.
Yes.
And, of course, we remember Palm Sunday, of course. Final stanza.
Our hands and feet, Lord, strengthen with joy. Our spirits bless until we see the ending of all our life's distress. And so throughout our lifetime, keep us within your care, and at our end, then bring us to heaven to praise you there.
See, that's the hope that we have.
The sure and certain hope.
Isn't it interesting that they say this hymn is really based on Articles 2 and 3 of the Apostles' Creed? You know, because the Holy Spirit, when you're baptized, you know, that's where he promises to get you through every trial. And that's really wonderful, where he strengthens your hands and feet with joy our spirits bless until we see the ending of all our life's distress. I've had a number of older people who don't have any relatives, family members have died, etc. They're alone.
Right.
And they're looking forward to death.
Right. Oh, yes. Yeah. In fact, some will say, Pastor, why doesn't the Lord take me? You know, all my friends are gone.
Yes.
Family.
I've heard that more than once.
Boy, yeah.
And what's our answer? That he still has use for you here.
Absolutely. You know, you've got time to pray for us and for the church.
Yes, and time to speak to others.
That's right.
About the hope that you have within us. Have you noticed, at least in my congregation, people who were not Lutheran and become Lutheran seem stronger in the faith at times?
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah.
Not to say that those who've been Lutheran all their life aren't strong in the faith, but they're missing what those others had experienced. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for them to understand, why some of these people are so joyous.
Yeah, the others have perhaps been without the pure gospel for some time, and the Lord brings them to the appreciation of all the gospel promises, and hey, this is new to me. You know, I've had people say that. This is really, this is new.
I've never heard this before.
I never got this in another church.
Yeah, never heard this before. What I've noticed is if you're listening to some of the guests, pastors, there's a number of them who were not Lutheran.
Right, that's right.
Yeah.
And heard one just the other day on KFUO was saying that.
Yes. And they understand, therefore, the difference. But somebody who's in, like, Methodism or the Baptist Church or the Roman Catholic, they don't understand the difference because they've never been confronted with it. Maybe that's the best way to do it. I still think we, as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, ought to have some primetime television show, maybe a story or something, where that message comes clear every time the story is on. Or even do a movie like the old Lutheran Hour.
Yes.
Remember that? Boy.
What, David and Goliath? Remember David and Goliath? Davy and Goliath. Remember that?
Oh, that was a cartoon.
No, it was more of a kid's show, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I don't remember that.
Goliath was a dog.
Missouri Synod put that out?
Yes. Yes, you don't remember that? I think it was conjunction with Lutheran. I think it was Lutheran Layman's League.
Oh, okay.
That was just back in the 50s, I think.
Yeah.
50s and 60s. Davy and Goliath.
Yeah. I'm talking about that little movie that they had in, or every week was a half hour thing.
Yeah, yeah. That too.
Yeah. You can get those on YouTube also.
Right.
And that's, I think, where Meyer, when he did the Lutheran Hour,
yes,
got hundreds of people out.
Yeah.
At his rallies and this sort of thing.
Yeah, Walter A. Meyer, Wham!
Yeah.
As they used to call him,
boy,
Wham!
He was...
Oh, boy.
You can still hear them, and they have records of him also. But right now we have KFUO, and the thing is, it's unfortunate that we're just a daytime station.
Yes.
Because we go off the air.
At dark.
At dark, and then not on till the morning. But fortunately, we can tell people to get us on the internet.
Right.
KFUO.org. And you can be in, we've got listeners in Australia, Asia, Novosibirsk, France, etc. that listen to us. In fact, I just got a call of a person who's moved to, what's the capital of Sweden?
Oh, Stockholm?
Yeah.
Stockholm. Yeah.
And she wanted to know, do we have a Lutheran church there?
Oh,
So I checked it out, and we don't.
Isn't the state church?
Well,
in
there's
Sweden? It's not really
Lutheran World Federation.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't want to send her there.
No, right.
No. So we're still trying to find if something is near there, or missionaries or whatever. Okay, well, thank you very much for being on the air with us. And where's your church?
Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood, just south of the Watson New Sappington intersection. We have services Saturday evening at 5 and Sunday morning at 9.
All right, and I'm Tom Baker. That's Mark Smith. Tomorrow, Insight Wednesday on Law and Gospel.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.